your mind or your name to the ignition and mental path of peace. We would like to read one verse written by the beloved Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 8. The testimony of the beloved Apostle, how precious to recognize, how humbly but faithfully he declares these words in the light of the great eternal truth that they contain. Chapter 3 of Ephesians and verse 8. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. May I read the closing sentence of the verse again? That I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. There is a contemporary verse we would like to mention that the Apostle also wrote, which is found in 2 Corinthians and found in chapter 8 and verse 9. We quote the word, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." Beloved Apostle Paul writes concerning the unsearchable riches of Christ. He declares the wonders of Christ coming to the earth and entering into that deepest of poverty that anyone humanly ever experienced in order to face the child of God who has tasted his grace, rich forever. We would like to meditate on that theme, the unsearchable riches of Christ, to which Paul makes reference. I'm sure we realize, from his words of 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9, those riches have been procured at the expense of the greatest poverty. When we think of the life of the Lord Jesus when coming to the earth and living here, we have to consider that even the commencement of that life, it was indeed covered about with poverty. The very poverty of his birth is indicated by the lowliness of the manner in which he was born and cradled in a stable. Perhaps no king in life, possibly not, ever entered into this world in such a humble, lowly way by the poverty of birth in a lowly stable at Bethlehem. The poverty of his family, the poverty of his boyhood, when even at the time when he was dedicated to the Lord and presented after 8 days in the temple for the rite of circumcision, Mary and Joseph offered what was the lowest estimation of a sacrifice that God would receive, and that was the sacrifice of two pigeons, the smallest and the most inexpensive sacrifice that an Israelite could bring to God because of his and her poverty. We think also of the poverty of his life, how again and again we have instances, such as when he said that the birds of the air of their nest, the foxes of their hold, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his hand. Another contemporary event that the Lord Jesus knew what it was to be in a life of poverty going through this world. But then above all others, the depth of his poverty we believe and know was his death upon the cross. Oh, and we think of that death, that he suffered and bore for us upon that cross of Calvary. That was the extent and the deepest extent of the poverty into which he went. Well, could the Apostle Paul rightly say, "Ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and how that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that ye through his poverty, and shall we not recognize the fullest depth of that poverty was when he was obedient unto death, and even the death of the cross. But what riches that poverty has brought. What riches it has provided for men and women. I would like to follow a certain number of texts where we can recognize the riches of Christ in their unsearchable character. And I'm confident that everyone present will realize we are not speaking and shall not speak of any material riches, of any earthly wealth, of any prominent supply of materialism that we may find here upon the earth. For the unsearchable riches of Christ, they cannot be measured, neither can they be computed in relation to the world's wealth and the characters of this being. First of all, may I bring before you words that he himself, on every occasion that we shall take a reference from the scripture, he himself spoke in reference to the riches that he has brought. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9, we have these words where the beloved apostle writes, the words of the Savior that were given to him, saying, my grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is sufficient for thee. This was the introduction, as it were, of the riches of the unsearchable riches of Christ. The riches of his grace. The riches of his divine, unmerited favor that he has poured out upon the human race through the depth of his poverty. What grace! The riches of his grace in salvation. Well, did the Apostle Paul write in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, words we may be very familiar with, saying, for we are saved by grace, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The riches of his grace. Oh, Paul well knows that if we are justified by faith, and in so doing we are peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Did he not also write at the end of that chapter in Romans 5, regarding the fact where sin abounded, grace he did much more about. His grace superabounded. For salvation is without question of doubt, as we may well know, if we do not, we should, is by grace alone. For the grace of God hath appeared, bringing salvation to all men. My beloved, when you and I trust the Lord Jesus as Savior, we come immediately into the possession of those riches of his grace. Saved by grace alone, this is almighty, he that died for all mankind, and Jesus died for me. But then may I go even further. The riches of his grace do not end when you find salvation, they just begin. James has well written, but he giveth more grace. And there is grace, not only for salvation, there is grace to keep, to encourage, and not to help one as we go on in this thing of life. Let me remind you of the words of the Apostle in Hebrews chapter 4, where Paul has written so well regarding the fact that we come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. When one is saved by grace, they are brought into the position, the constant, the fixed position of God's favor. And that favor not only has become, but it continues. And that child of God is not one who is able to draw upon the riches of grace, that even continues from the throne of grace above to the kind of God below. He giveth more grace. He multiplies that grace. Have you never read the Apostle's introduction so frequently? Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. And what joy to realize the riches of His grace when they begin in the knowledge of salvation. Continue on, and on, and on, and on. The supply of grace never can be ignored. But then going to the same text that we began, in 2 Corinthians 12, and verse 9, the beloved apostle not only said, my grace is sufficient for thee, as he uttered and wrote the words of the Savior over to him, but he went on to say, my strength is made perfect in weakness. My strength is made perfect in weakness. The riches of His strength. How much do we know of His strength? For the joy of knowing not only the riches of grace belong to the child of God, but there are the supplies of His strength and the riches of His strength. May I be very thankful to be reminded in my own heart and to remind yours too regarding that strength that God gives to His own. The beloved prophet long ago made mention of the fact of the days of Jehoshaphat, how that the strength of the Lord alone would enable him to not acknowledge he could only take life and the circumstances of the troubles and the difficulties that were before him in the strength of the Lord. Let me just say what Paul reminds us of. My strength is made perfect in what? Weakness. The very constant need of strength is implied when we are constantly aware of our weakness. And the words of Jehoshaphat are so familiar, and they're so precious. When facing great enemies that outnumbered him, Joshua called upon the people of Judah and Jerusalem to gather together, and they faced in prayer the presence of the Lord. And Joshua poured out his heart, and he contemplated the prayer of his heart for the need that was so great against outnumbered enemies that were coming against Judah and Jerusalem. And he said, we have no might, we have no strength against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. The riches of his strength. My fellow believer in the Lord Jesus, you and I cannot live in our own strength a Christian life. Blessed is the man, wrote the psalmist, who said, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. Paul as well written in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. And my beloved, for the strength that we need in the way and the path that we tread, the riches of his strength, they are sufficient. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. One thing for the dear apostle Paul, standing alone, as you may read in 2 Timothy chapter 4, as he stood before Nero, the emperor, on trial for his life, and confesses me right to Timothy, no man stood with me. Nevertheless, the Lord stood with me and delivered me. Oh, beloved, the riches of his strength. Well, did Moses write long ago in the book of Deuteronomy concerning one of the tribes of Israel, in his farewell message, as thy day, so shall thy strength be. How many times we wonder how we may get through certain days and tested the fire. The riches of his strength. On one occasion in Daniel chapter 10, I believe, Daniel met the glory of the Lord by the river and fell to the ground upon his face and upon his body. And he said there was no more strength in me until he faltered and touched and said, O Daniel, greatly beloved. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and stood on my feet. My beloved, as you and I look at this precious word of God, there are riches not only of grace, there are riches of strength as he speaks to the heart of his people. What riches? The riches of divine. But then think of the words of the Lord Jesus on another occasion. And we quote them as he told them to his disciples in the upper room in John chapter 14. Near the end of that 14th chapter, that comforting chapter, he closes the exhortation of seven distinct consolations by saying in verse 27, Peace, I meet with you. My peace give I unto you. Not as the world giveth give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. My peace give I unto you. Would you please note again, with no apology for the repetition, the personal pronoun that the Lord of glory uses. My grace. My My peace give I unto you. Not as the world giveth give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The riches of this peace. Did not Paul write to the Ephesians in chapter 2 declare those precious words concerning the Savior and his finished work upon the cross? And all that he has done to bring the saints into that wonderful body of Christ. He is our peace. Peace, perfect peace in this dark world of sin, wrote the poet. The blood of Jesus whispers peace within. The riches of his peace. Oh, may I suggest them in three ways. Quoting again from Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What a great blessing to have peace with God. But it can only be obtained through our Lord Jesus Christ, and obtain my faith in the precious redeeming work of his blood. Well, did the angel herald the message over the plains of Bethlehem, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. How can that peace ever become the joy and the possession of human hearts? My beloved, let us say immediately, not from any peace table of men, not from any gathering of nations seeking to enforce or to legislate peace. My beloved, here is a living person, in whom and from whom and by whom alone we can find peace with God. May we ask, are you in the enjoyment of that peace? One question of your old man who was sick in the hospital. Have you made your peace with God? And he made answer to the inquirer, no, I have not. But he said, I know a person that made it for me. years ago. And that person is the Lord Jesus. He has made peace, wrote the apostle, by the blood of his cross. And what joy to have the riches of that peace. Peace with God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. No longer an enemy. No longer a rebel. But having found through the work of salvation on that cross of Calvary, peace with God. Well, did the psalmist write, lovely verse, righteousness and peace have kissed me. They are the sinner at the cross of Calvary. Find divine righteousness provided for him and her through the death of Christ. And enter into peace with God. Then may I go further. The riches of his peace, not only in redemption, but Paul well wrote to the Philippians in chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 to say, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep garrison your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The riches of his peace, not only in redemption, but the riches of that peace, the peace of God, even in anxiety. The peace of God, for not only is there peace with God, but there is the peace of God. May I quote the words of the Lord Jesus again? John 14, 27. My peace give I unto you. When the Lord spoke those words, Jerusalem was buzzing with excitement. The plot to slay and apprehend the Lord Jesus was getting nearer to his fulfillment. And the Savior knew, while in that upper room he was facing Gethsemane, the trial, the crucifixion in Calvary. But he had peace. Perfect peace. And the same peace he gives to those. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The peace of God. Well, as Isaiah written in Isaiah 26, verse 3, thou keepest him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Oh, beloved, the world knows nothing of that peace, but the child of God, who has peace with God, can also experience by great divine the peace of God. Anxiety, be anxious for nothing, that means in everything. But in everything, and that means now nothing, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, bringing all the problems to the feet of God, and exchanging the anxiety for what? The peace of God, to garrison the heart and the mind through Christ Jesus. In the same scripture of Philippians chapter 4, just a little bit further down, the apostle speaks of this fact, and the God of peace shall be with the riches of his peace, peace with God, peace of God, and the God of peace. You know, I'm glad I say, I have a person. I belong to a person. Who is my peace? In every way. Oh, my beloved friend, do you know him? These are part of the unsearchable riches of Christ. The riches of his grace. The riches of his grace. And the riches of his peace. What a thing. In John chapter 15 and verse 7, the Lord Jesus mentions are the riches. If my words abide in you and ye abide in me, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and I will do. And here again he speaks of other riches. My words. If my words abide in you, the riches of his word, the precious truths that are found in the pages of this wonderful book, and in order to be abiding in him, his words must be abiding in us. And if my words abide in you, there will be the power of answered prayer for you. And the riches of his words, oh my beloved, the riches of this precious book. One well wrote the words, the treasures of earth are not mine. I hold not its silver nor gold. And another wrote words similar saying, I have a wonderful treasure, the gift of God without measure. We will travel together, my Bible and I. My Bible and your Bible, my Christian friends, contain riches. And as the psalmist well wrote in Psalm 19, saying, they are more to be desired than gold, yea, even fine gold. My beloved, may I suggest to you, there is no gold in the world, nor in the universe, that can compare in its value to the riches of the Word of God. How great the treasure. Well, did Jeremiah write, thy words were found? I didn't. Well, did the psalmist say, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the word of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate. How often? Day and night. My beloved, in that book, there are riches that many are not finding. A remarkable story was written concerning a man in the old country of England years ago. He had taken care as best that he could of an uncle that was a favorite of his. And he did much for this uncle. And when the uncle died, he expected he would be remunerated, remembered by the uncle in his will. Well, he was. His uncle, in his will, said, I leave to my favorite nephew, my wife. What a keen disappointment and answer. While the different parts of his property and of his possessions in the home were divided to other relatives, all he had, the old Bible. And it was given to him. He wasn't a man that knew the Bible or even cared for the Bible. Kind as he had been to the uncle, and he treasured not what the uncle had left for him. And he took it in his pocket, tucked it away in an old trunk, for he never was interested in reading it. There came a time later in his life when he turned to that Bible for the first time after many years. For he had been very miserable and dissatisfied in the act that the old uncle had done just to leave in his old life. But when he turned and opened the Bible for the first time, he opened its pages and then he began opening its pages pages, banknotes began to drop out of many pages that he never knew were there. And for years he'd gone on, struggling to try to make it a living. But all the time, his uncle had left him because of the kindness he had shown, more of the riches than he had left his brother. The other relatives, and they're all cut in the line. Well, he confessed how foolish he had been. Beloved, what a picture that is of the riches of God's word. My beloved, one can well say, if one had the choice between dire poverty, absolute poverty, and riches, it would be far better to choose the riches of the word of God. My word, what riches are found in, more to be desired than gold, than any hate enough. In John chapter 15, the same chapter of John, and verse 9, the Lord Jesus said, commanding his disciples to love one another, and say, continue ye in my love. Continue ye in my love. The riches of his love. Oh, when you and I think of the riches of his love, we have to confess that he should love you and me. It is a causeless love. Can you tell a reason why he should love you? Can I give a reason why he should love me? Here it is, love, wrote the Apostle John in 1 John 3:16. Not that we love God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. A causeless love. But oh, what a love. But it's not only a causeless love, it's a boundless love. As you read in Ephesians chapter 3 in the prayer of the apostle, as he prays that you might know what is the length and the depth, breadth and the depth and the height. And the knowledge of the love of God, as it is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Boundless in its ocean supply. And thank God, it is an endless one. I love thee with an everlasting love. The Jeremiah chapter 31 verse 3, as God spoke through. The riches of his love, continue ye in my love. We first come to the knowledge of that love when we find him as Savior, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. But may I go even further to declare, you can know that love more and more. As the Lord Jesus says, if any man love me, he will keep my commandments. And I will come unto him and manifest myself to him. He that keepeth my commandments, he it is that loveth me. And my Father and I will love him and will make our abode with him. And may I raise the question to my fellow believers. Are you and I knowing more of that love? It doesn't seem. Surely as the apostle John has well written of that scene in the upper room in John 13. Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them to the end. The poet well wrote the little chorus that we found in. He loved me, he loved me. I never can love him as I are, but he loved me. And what joy it is to realize the riches of his. And the enjoyment of the riches of his love for us, how they can indeed make the heart glad and the life rich. The poet well wrote The old song saying, the riches of earth are not mine, I hold not its silver nor gold, but a treasure far greater is mine, I have riches of value untold. All the depths of the riches of love, the riches of love in Christ Jesus, far better than gold, than wealth untold, are the riches of love in Christ Jesus. May I say humbly, but very faithful, I value the love of my family more than I would value all the wealth they could. The very love of one's family is far greater than if they possess the whole world. Same with the saints. For what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and lose his own soul? And beloved, as one well wrote, I'd rather be poor and know Jesus than own the whole world and be king. For if only those who know Jesus in heaven, his praises shall say, hallelujah, I'm glad I'm saved. But if no one else would ever love me, no one else would ever love you, praise God, you've got one person who says, I love you forever, and the loving Christ. And may I say, I believe with all earnestness, when I get into the glory divine, I'm going to find out more of that love. He's going to love it all for us. But not only the riches of his love in that same chapter in verse 11, the riches of his joy. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy may remain in you. The riches of his grace, how great. The riches of his strength, how great. The riches of his peace, how abundant. The riches of his words, how many. And the riches of his love. And now the riches of his joy, my joy, and my joy. You say, was the Lord happy? May I say to you, he was the happiest man upon the earth. But you better make sure you know why he was happy. Wasn't the possessions of this world. It wasn't material things. It wasn't the physical circumstances. But he had a joy that none could ever take away from. And though he was rejected by the leaders of the nation, he could say, and to the Father acknowledge. Nevertheless, as he saw his rejection appearing, he could accept and say, I thank thee, O Father, that thou hast now revealed these things unto the wise and unto the prudent, but unto me. Even so, Father, but so is thee good in thy. The riches of his joy was doing the will of the Father. I have been to eat that ye know not of, behold it is I who was done for, as they came and found it, having been taught to the woman of good end. To do the will of the Father, that was his great joy. He came into the world saying, I give life to do thy will, O God. And his joy, deep, unmovable, was to do the will of God. And that's what you and I must do. To enjoy the riches of his joy. I delight to do thy will. What riches of joy? Have a deeper happiness than all that the world can ever see. The last of all. In John 17 and verse 24, he makes a prayer, and he prays for his own people. Father, I pray that they will behold my glory in all the future glory of eternity, that they may behold my glory. He begins with grace, my strength, my peace, my word. My love, my joy. But it leads to my glory. What can we say about that Lord? Beloved Lord. That all gold in that city of gold above, when the glory of the New Jerusalem appears, and never could ever be found upon it. And more glory in the ages to come will that reservoir have to share with his Lord, that they may behold my glory, riches, and equal again in glory. Ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that ye through his poverty, and recognize again the depth of poverty, even to the rock that he went, that you and I might be the son of the unsearchable riches of God, and they are confident with the riches of Israel. I trust you can say, his riches are now mine, for his name shall be mine. Father, we bow in thy presence with amazement, wonder, and adoration, that thou didst send thy son into such depth of poverty, to make us rich. We turn our hearts and our minds away from the riches of earth. We would ask by the Holy Spirit we shall consider the riches that are unsearchable, the unsearchable riches of time. And may every one of us humbly, gratefully be able to acknowledge, thank God, they are mine. And if there be one here that cannot do so, Lord Jesus, may they realize Christ Jesus came into the world to save them, and even to save them, that they too might live. We ask it in his precious, worthy name of the Catholic. Amen.